This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the channel. It is Denise Salcedo, and I'm very excited to introduce to you my guest for today. He is a 13-time flyweight world champion, current one flyweight world champion, MMA GOAT, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. Nice to have you on the show, Demetrius.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited. You know, there's so much to talk about. Obviously, you know, you got the big fight coming up on May 5th. There's so much to kind of get into in regards to that. You versus Adriano Moraes for the third time officially. And your story with Moraes has been absolutely crazy to see the way that the first fight went down, the way that the second fight went down. You were able to get your revenge. And now going into this third fight, I want to start off by asking you how you feel heading into it, especially given that's the first show in the United States for one championship.
I feel great. You know, I've been in this position before, headlining big cards around the world, you know, not just in America. Well, I actually have headlined big cards here in America and in Singapore and all around the world. So for me, it doesn't do different. So day in the office, super excited, feel strong. I'm in Denver, Colorado, getting adjusted to the altitude, and I'm looking forward to May 5th.
Man, it's going to be a good one. And so I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, the entire kind of story that's been happening here with you and Adriano. So, you know, with the first fight and the way that went down, taking the loss and getting the knee to the jaw. And then the second one, you getting your revenge and winning this match also with the knee to Adriano. I want to ask you, when you have been sort of focusing on one competitor for quite a while now and training and preparing for fights with him, what are the pros and cons of that? Because you know him in terms of his strengths and weaknesses inside the cage, but so does he.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when you go back to back training for the same person, it can kind of get a little bit, in my opinion, stale, just because you've seen it already, you've watched the exact same footage. You get to watch a little more footage on him because it's fresh footage that of me, him fighting for the second time. So that's a little bit more refreshing. But as far as getting ready for him for a third time, you know, I enjoyed actually fighting Rod Tang and then fighting him again to have a little break to mix it up. And, you know, the pros that we've already been doing this. So 9 months ago, that's not a very long time mixed martial arts. The cons is that you're just stuck looking at the same tape again.
So with that being said, like, it's interesting too, because, you know, like you mentioned, having to see like the same, you're stuck watching the same tape over and over again. But it is one of those things that, like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, like there's pros and cons to this, because it's like he knows what to kind of expect from you. So you almost, do you feel like you have to like pull new tricks out of your bag in order to make sure that you, you know, are able to defeat this guy, especially the third time around?
A little bit of both. You know, sometimes you got to continue doing what you're doing. You know, everything I did in the first fight was the same thing I did in the second fight. I just adjusted just a little bit different. So going to the third fight, I'm going to adjust it just a little bit better. That way we can get it done a lot sooner. So my style, there's no secret. You know, he's 5'8". He's a bigger fighter. The taller, the longer fighter. With me being shorter, I got to get across the distance. I got to get to him. Right? Because he ain't coming to me. If he comes to me, then it makes my job a whole lot more easier. So, you know, if you go back and watch the two fights, if you go back and watch all his fights, that's kind of how he likes to approach the fighting, is, you know, having his opponents overextend, reach, and him catching them. Well, for me, I'm going to come forward regardless. So I'm going to make it a fight, and that's what I plan on doing May 5th.
And I'm curious. So what fight to you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, what fight to you meant the most in terms of, was it the second fight coming off of that loss, or is it this upcoming fight now knowing that you've already beat him once and you kind of want to prove it more? Or did the second fight going into it mean to you more because you wanted to kind of get that revenge?
I think all three of them. right? All three of them would be big. And the reason why I say this, like, you know, first one is, you know, it was during COVID-19, very intimate arena. It was just us and the one championship staff, us fighting. I suffered my first stoppage in my mixed martial arts career. And, you know, to be able to come back from that and fight Rod Tang and then fight him a second time, that one has, you know, some value to importance. And then if you look at the second one between me and him, you know, a lot of people get gun shy when they get knocked out by somebody, right? They get gun shy. And I didn't show any of that where it's like, nah, I mean, you're going to get knocked out. It's part of the game. The more you play stupid games, you're going to get stupid prizes. So for me to come back and be able to knock him out and show people that I leveled up and I've continued to get better at age of 36 was a huge significant. And I believe this third fight between me and Adrian is going to be a spectacular one. And I think, you know, me going out there, displaying my skill set, that I'm continuing to still get better.
And you see that, man, like even just like watching those two fights back to back, like you automatically see that. And I think that was probably one of the cool things. And seeing them made me really excited for like this third upcoming fight, because I'm like, okay, you know, how is this going to play out, you know, differently? What similarities, what differences are we going to be seeing in this actual matchup? So with that being said, I do kind of want to talk a little bit about ONE Championship here in regards to the fact that, you know, we mentioned that this is their first US show, but also ONE Championship is start, you know, they just got their, you know, their deal with Amazon Prime and all of that. So I want to ask you, for MMA fans that are either casuals or, you know, regular, they're casuals or they're hardcore, for them, what would you say to give them, tell them like, hey, you should be watching ONE Championship? What is the reasons that you would tell those fans to check out ONE Championship?
Yeah, the biggest thing is that a lot of people, when they watch mixed martial arts in general, they're not biggest fans of the grappling aspect of mixed martial arts. They say, oh, stand them up. We don't want to see two men lay on top of each other. Perfect. I got you. ONE Championship offers not just mixed martial arts, but it offers kickboxing, Muay Thai, and we do offer submission wrestling. But it's a combination of all the forms of mixed martial arts. And we have the best strikers in the world, not just in kickboxing, but also in Muay Thai. And then we have the best grapplers in the world as well, and the best mixed martial artists athletes as well. And it's a little bit different rule sets, needs to ground an opponent. The production value is a lot better than the other organizations in the world. And I think it's like, you know, you go to a party and it's not just one entree on the menu. There's a lot of entrees, a lot of different hors d'oeuvres, as I used in the past. There's things for different people. It's not just, you don't show up to the party, all they're serving is chocolate cake. Nuh-uh. We got chocolate, we got German chocolate, we got confetti cake, we got strawberry shortcake. We have so many different flavors you guys can choose from. And I'm sure you guys will find something you like if you're into combat sports.
I gotta tell you, I think that's like my favorite analogy I've ever heard in terms of comparing something to something else. I like that. You got me thinking. I was like, ooh, yeah, like I love all of this. Got me a little hungry there. So that's the thing too. Like also I touched on, you know, the first US show, but a lot of these previous shows have been, you know, overseas. The last two fights were in Singapore. How different was preparing for a fight when you have to go overseas and so much changes, and now, you know, preparing for a fight that's, you know, here in the United States?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the time zone change, right? Like going to Singapore or China or just in Asia in general, that's going to be an 18-hour flight. Unless it's in Japan, it's a 10-hour flight. And then adjust to the time zone, that's a little harder. But since I've been fighting more on Amazon Prime, which is, they still keep it on the same U.S. time zone, it wasn't a lot of adjusting. Just like when I would be up, everything is closed. And then when I would be sleeping, everything would be open. So that was probably one of the hardest things. But now being back in the States and getting ready for this fight, the hardest thing is just adjusting to the altitude. It's no joke. Like the altitude, there is no oxygen up here that our body is. There is oxygen up here, but the lack of oxygen is real. So getting my body adjusted to that has probably been the hardest thing. And that's why, you know, invested 3 weeks out of here before the competition.
Man, that's very cool. And I'm curious, did you ever experience any like culture shock when you were out there in these different countries fighting?
No, not at all. I mean, I've been widely respected in all these countries for the way I carry myself and how I look at martial arts in general. So going to Singapore, Thailand, Japan, they showed nothing but love for me. So no culture shock. I mean, and I watch a lot of anime. I know it's not like Japan, but I watch a lot of anime, so I kind of understand what's going on. And Singapore, I tell people Singapore reminds me of Seattle, but tropical.
Very
tech orientated. You know, it's very strict out there. People ain't out there. You ain't no guns. So, I mean, if anything, I've gone to East Coast, have been culture shock, then going to Asia.
That's awesome, man. You're like, what the hell is going on here? We do things differently, you know, in the West Coast or whatever.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. And I do also want to, before we transition into our next portion of the interview, I do want to kind of close out some thoughts for, you know, kind of where you're at in terms of what you want to do in terms of short-term goals, long-term goals, even for yourself or just for like one championship in general as a promotion, you know, where you would like to see it, you know, eventually end up.
Yeah, I'd love to see one championship, you know, be the premier sport for all athletes to compete at here in North America and continuing to build the brand in North America and get more American talent and hopefully have, you know, 2 to 3 shows here in America. You know, well, I'd like to see maybe 5 shows here in America yearly, you know, that's just starting out, that eventually hopefully one every month in America. And we also have our stuff in Lumpini Stadium in Singapore and Thailand. So we need a lot more athletes on the roster bill to fulfill that bill. And for me, just stay healthy. Stay healthy and be part of my kid's life, my wife. And that's it, man. For me, health is everything. So I think we'd be like, man, what's your 5 to 10 year goal? It's like, oh, just stay healthy. I mean, because you never know when your health goes. When your health goes, it doesn't matter how much money you got. You got health. Health is wealth.
That's true. That's step one, by the way. Step one of like doing anything in your life is making sure you're healthy and that you're okay. And then you can kind of move forward with that. So I love that answer. All right. So our final portion of the interview, I have 10 super random questions for you, just so that the viewers can get to know you just a little bit more. So I'm going to ask them to you and you answer them however you please. Here we go. Question number one, what's the worst video game you have ever played?
Oh, man. God, I don't know. I'll say Out of This World by Super Nintendo on Super Nintendo.
Why was it the worst?
It was just very pixelated, no storyline to it. You basically start in this thing, it blows up, you swim up, and then there's no speaking. It's literally, you gotta look it up. It's called Out of This World on Super Nintendo. It's hilarious. It's like the worst game I've ever played in my life.
Question number two, your top 3 favorite video games.
Top 3 favorite video games. I'm going to give my top favorite franchises of video games.
Okay.
I would say the Resident Evil franchise. I would definitely say the Legend of Zelda franchise. And then I would say probably Dead Space franchise. Those are massive games. They've been a huge part of my life. And I love those games. To pick 3 top, it's very hard. Like I could just name up 20 or 40 of them.
You're like, I got to do a top 100 list, man.
Yeah, top 100 right here.
Question number 3, if you could step into a video game, which one would it be, or a franchise, whatever specific world, one only, which one would you want to step in and experience it firsthand?
I think Dead Space would be amazing. Be out in space with Isaac Clarke, understanding the red marker, the necromorphs. I think it would be very good and just crazy.
I love that. Question number 4, what's your favorite thing about being a dad?
Raising children, to see them get smarter. I never forget when Maverick first started to read, or even Tyron, to see them compete. Like, I think that's the best part about being a dad, is just being able to raise children and see them flourish into these beautiful flowers.
How do they feel when they watch you fight? Like, have they always been okay with it? Did it take them a while?
No, they've been okay with this since the beginning. I tell them, like, daddy doesn't fight. Like, I don't have a very macho man personality. Like, there's going to be people out there who are better than me in the sport of mixed martial arts, right? Like, there's people out in the jungle or in Brazil or Russia or Kazakhstan, whatever it may be, who are going to be better than me, right? So for me, I do it for the financial part of it. And I tell my kids, like, guys, you know, I fight to put food on the table for you guys. So whether I win or lose, as long as there's food on the table, whatever happens in that cage doesn't matter. Because it doesn't affect our lives, right? I mean, it doesn't. I set myself up to where it doesn't. And so, no, they don't care. I mean, they watch it, and I've cut somebody in their forehead, and there's blood everywhere, and I come home, like, yeah, guys, bleeding all over the place. I was like, that was ketchup. He goes, no, it wasn't. I'm like, yeah, it was blood. But I tell him, I was like, I'm only doing it for money. I was like, I'm not doing it for any other reason. They go, okay. So they're pretty chill with it.
I love the way that you explained it to your kids, because it could be like really hard sometimes to watch, you know, someone, you know, to watch that, you know, it could be hard. So I love the way you explained it to them and kind of seeing it for them to see it differently, like in a different type, with a different type of perspective, you know?
Absolutely.
And question number five, best cheat day meal.
Best cheat day meal. Oh man. I love sushi. Like just all I can eat sushi with a nice margarita or a mojito or a milkshake. Like I love to eat. Like I love to eat.
Question number six, coolest country or city to fight in?
Oh, well, too bad for that. I would say Japan. Country, Japan. City, Las Vegas. Las Vegas will always be my favorite to fight. Reason why, there's no taxes. Everything is open. There's a show. You can do everything there. And when I fight, I usually get done fighting around maybe 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night. So it's very hard to find good food at that time. Vegas, no problem.
No problems whatsoever. Agreed with that. Question number seven, do you have any pre or post-fight rituals?
So pre-fight ritual, I clean my room. I pack my bag. Reason why I do that is because I've broken my hand in a fight and I came back to the hotel and have to pack my whole room with a broken hand. And that's pretty much my only pre-fight ritual is I pack my whole room up. That way, if I break my hand, I can come back, take my clothes off, shower, put fresh clothes on and go to the airport.
You know, it's crazy to hear you say that because I've never like thought about that in the sense that, yeah, like if you break your hand or something, who's going to do like this little, like these tasks for you?
Yeah. Like obviously my wife would do it or you know, it's just a thing that happened to me when I had my first big fight at the pros. I broke my hand in the first round and next thing you know, I came back to the hotel, broken hand. I had to pack the whole room. And I was like, and so I had to do it, and it was just something that's always stuck with me. That it's always funny, people are like, when you go fight, it's literally like you're on TV for 25 minutes, and you go back to normal life after that. So for me, you know, just like anything, I broke my hand. I was like, I still got to wash dishes. I still got to do all this stuff. So I pack my bag every time before I go fight.
Well, at least you have a good excuse to not wash the dishes or do any of those household chores.
That is true.
Question number eight, what's your biggest gym pet peeve?
Funky people who stink. I can't stand when people are funky, their shirts stink. That's probably my biggest gym pet peeve.
I don't blame you on that one. That's very distracting. Question number nine, what's your biggest pinch me moment of your career?
Pinch me moment of a career, probably won my first world title. I think that, like, because I never thought I would become a world champion in mixed martial arts. You know, I started this sport as a passion, and now here I am about to headline another card here in Denver, Colorado. So when I first won the title in 2012 in Toronto, that was kind of like a, you know, pinch me moment. I was like, oh, shit, look, it happened, boys.
Man, that's freaking awesome. And last question number 10, how would you describe yourself in three words or less?
Chilled, very passive, and... chilled, passive. What's the other word? Confident.
Those are good ones. Those are all really strong ones. Demetrius, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and also play the lightning round game. Before we go, please tell the people where they can fight you. I was about to say where they can find you and support you and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can follow me on Instagram, which is, I believe, Mighty. And then Twitter is Mighty Mouse. Check out the YouTube channel, Mighty Gaming. And also make sure you check out My Fight Against Adrian Moraes on Amazon Prime on May 5th. Don't miss it. The trilogy.
I'm going to have all of the links to that in the description box below so you guys can find out where to support Demetrius and where to catch the fight. All of that, once again, in the description box below. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.